Jamie Locker with you here in the Green Zone. About 50 minutes left, and then we can get the heck out of here and watch some basketball and maybe some soccer.
I just want to jump in here quickly and have a quick conversation. I waited until you were both here. We've got Britton
Gray from the Green Zone, writer, reporter. Yeah.
I am mortified at how you two are treating Scotty in his first attempt at fantasy football. It's despicable. Well, the two of you need to do better. You're going to turn him off.
He's trying to get Scott to make a terrible trade to help his own selfish team.
I'm trying to show him how trading works. And these are the buttons you click, and maybe something goes through.
I see right through you.
So Scott Vickers, our producer, he's a rookie at fantasy football. He's on the CFL Green Zone
and
fantasy football team.
And these two are exploiting his innocence.
What did I do today? I said, hey, Scotty, your running back's out. Greg Bell is out. I would pick up the backup running back and get rid of one of these two guys, and he did.
That's not what I heard.
Well, I was going to pick up the backup running back, so he couldn't. But his first attempt at fantasy football, so I gave him some advice. And I'm up against him this week in the matchup, so I might have helped him beat me.
This is Scott's Grey Cup this week. If he beats Jamie and I, he has bragging rights all over for the next year.
Oh, I'll play him again this year.
I don't know. But you've been trying to manipulate trades behind the scenes.
No, manipulate. Why do you look at it that way? It's negotiation. And just
both of you need to do better. You're going to turn him off of fantasy football.
No, I told him. So he told me what he was doing on the draft. And he said what I did whenever I saw like a top 50 list or something, I just took it down and did some work. And looked at it. I'm like, see, that's what you do for fantasy football. I was like, good job, Scott. No wonder you drafted better than Britton Gray. You did a lot more research.
I was also in a terrible spot. Once again, I was sandwiched in between Belton and Jamie in the draft. And so not a good spot to be.
Okay, what did you think of the debut of the 2026 season last night? Overtime, the Alouettes and the Hamilton Tiger Cats. David Melford did not like the 35-second play clock. Because they weren't starting it instantly. There is that pause.
He's right. It should start instantly.
Thank you, Britton.
That's how it should be. That's how I believe it
was. That's why they brought it in.
Make it go. All we've done is added extra time to the 20-second play clock already. Ridiculous. Anyway.
Thank you.
I thought it was a good game. I mean, we saw a little bit of everything. What makes the CFL great? Kind of a comeback there. Some big plays. That Philpott catch, already a catch of the year candidate in game number one. I'm not going to lie, with all the rule changes Stuart Johnson's throwing at us, I forgot the new overtime rules were this year. And when they had to explain, I was like, hang on, it is this year.
Yes.
Didn't come into effect, but it was exciting football. Davis Alexander continues to win in every game except the biggest one.
So I'll throw this out to you guys. I was casually paying attention to the game. So I didn't sit down and watch that game.
Well, you were partaking in the festivities at Mosaic last night.
Yeah, so I wasn't. But from what I did see, it didn't look, and I know there was mistakes, but it looked like both those teams are kind of up to speed already, and that it didn't look like a preseason game to me.
No, it was pretty good. Obviously, Davis Alexander, these quarterbacks missed a couple throws. I'm sure they would like back. The penalties. Montreal had a lot of penalties. They played some undisciplined football, especially in that first half. But it wasn't terrible football. We've seen some bad football in week
especially
one of the CFL season.
First couple weeks, yeah.
It was a pretty good game. I would say if you had some friends or whoever who haven't watched a CFL game and they just got into it for whatever reason, it was a pretty good game for them to watch their first one.
Yeah, it came down to the wire. Fumble in overtime by Carrick Wheatfall of the Tiger Cats allowed just a game-winner field goal for Maltos Diaz last night. I tweeted this out. Luke Wilson made his regular season debut last night as a color analyst, and it was a three-person booth, which is very rare on TSN. So it was Rod Smith, Dwayne Ford, and Luke Wilson. I thought it was outstanding.
I did too.
I thought it was really good.
I had a moment where I was like, okay, I really like Luke because we've met him a couple of times, right? And I'm a fan. I know he rubs a lot of people the wrong way, but I'm a huge fan.
He's not shy of an opinion, that's for sure.
No, but I think he was born for that role. Like, no?
It was a fresh voice. Maybe that's what it was. It was a fresh voice. Kind of like when Tony Romo hit the air on CBS a few years ago and everybody lost their mind how good he was. And now it's kind of fizzled and now he just won't stop talking. But I don't know, Britton. I thought Luke Wilson, for his first regular season game, I thought it was great.
It was great. There is something to the fact of something fresh, something different. He's knowledgeable about football. I know people can disagree with his opinions on the rules and how CFL's presented, but he knows his stuff and he'll call out the formations. He knows what their teams are trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish. I like that he's brought that in, that he's played football fairly recently. He brings kind of that fresh perspective. And I thought him and Dwayne had a lot of good moments bantering back and forth, especially at the end about the ties. And him, when Dwayne was like, you know, I don't mind ties. Dwayne, come on.
Yeah, that's funny.
So
yeah.
I thought it was good for TSN.
His take on the Blue Bombers, though, way off.
Yeah, Luke thinks the Bombers are going to do a lot more damage than others.
He's too close to Zach. That's his problem.
Well, I have the Bombers third in the West.
And here's another thing too. Like, listen, I don't want to make this about his haircut, but how do you get rid of a mullet and still have a bad lid? He's a good looking guy. He could have, and he's got a good flow. What are you doing?
I don't know. He's got people for that at TSN, so blame them. They do hair and makeup before the broadcast.
I was like, you got rid of the mullet. How does it still look like a bad mullet?
I'm not going to judge him on his.
I shouldn't be talking about hair because I can't grow.
That is true. But Britton, I know you're consuming a lot of sports as we all are. What about World Cup next week? Are you?
Be honest.
I know you. He wakes up at 6 a.m. to watch like the big events.
Yeah, not the regular season or the season through league, but like Champions League finals. I'll wake up for kind of the big ones. I'll wake up for. I'm excited. I was very excited when they were last in the World Cup and they made it. Admittedly, a little bit of luster off this first game because Alphonso Davies isn't playing. We know he's the star power, and there's a few other injuries as well. But I'm excited to see just it's in Canada. They get to go in front of a home crowd, and it's all about history. This is a group that I think Canada can get out of. Never mind just getting a goal anymore. It's about not just winning a game also. There's a lot of excitement about who they get to face and possibly make even more history. When they get to the knockout rounds, it'll all just be house money at that point. Let's just enjoy the ride however far it goes.
So you think they're going to get out of the first round?
I do. But it's really going to be tough, but this is a group that you have the possibility to do it in.
Huh. How much of an impact does Marsh have on this team? Is he that coach that can get a team that might not have the star power it should have to that next level?
Well, we'll find out, right? This is the first kind of try at it, of course, and we'll see. He's got some injuries to deal with, but so he has to be a little bit of
a tactician here.
By the way, thank you, Jason, for texting me and us here on the Green Zone. The Lawler pass interference call last night was bogus. He realized he wasn't going to get the ball, so he just slowed down and let the DB run into him.
It was about 10 feet over his head.
I tweeted it out last night. Let that be a lesson, kids. If you don't think you can catch the ball, just stop. Let the DB run into you and challenge for pass interference. I hate that. I hate that call when the receiver stops and the DB runs into him that they call that pass interference. Especially when he didn't push the receiver or anything. He just ran into him naturally.
He had his hands up in his grill.
You're allowed hands. You're allowed hands on the chest. And he didn't tug. He didn't do anything. He just, the
he
momentum
hit him,
carried
he hit
him.
In the head.
No, he did yes, not he did. Hit him in the head.
Yes, he did.
I thank you, Jason, for the text. I agree with you. That shouldn't have been pass interference.
There's a little more contact than there should have been, in my opinion. But
before we let Britton go, NBA final game two tonight. Who's gonna win this one?
Boy, it feels like the Knicks can't be stopped right now with the way they're going. 12-game winning streak. It was close last time, but they pulled away at the end. Jalen Brunson did not have his best game, but showed up in the fourth quarter. Karl Anthony Towns, the way he's playing, the leadership role he's taking on the Knicks, I think some people are kind of reassessing what they thought about him as a talent. The Knicks might do it again. It's hard to think that that momentum right now can be stopped.
Whew. He played so well against Victor Wembanyama as well. Although, can the interviewers stop calling him Cat? Cat, what do you think? Just unless he says, don't call me Carl, because he doesn't like the name or something, that's fine. But I hate the nickname interviews. Are you buddies? Are you going out for dinner? Like, seriously. It's Carl. What do you think? You're Carl Anthony? What are you going with? But
I like nicknames. It helps me get past the fact that I can't say a lot of
names. That's why you call him Wemby all the time. Meanwhile, yep. The footage out of New York, Central Park viewing party is already jammed. It's an hour from tip-off.
That city, if the Knicks win, I don't know what's going to
happen.
They're going
to blow it up.
They might need Batman.
Oh, my goodness. It is.
Yeah.
It would be like the Leafs winning the Stanley Cup in Toronto. It's very similar.
Wow, we don't have to worry about that.
The Knicks have not won since 1973. And that is Britton Gray, Green Zone Rider Reporter, back to work next week after you enjoyed some time off. By the way, the fish picture, who caught it?
I caught it.
Okay, just check.
Come on now.
Hold on, I haven't seen this. Is there any?
Oh, Twitter? It's huge. That's an impressive
What'd
fish.
What'd you pull out of the water?
A fish.
35-inch jackfish.
Okay.
Apparently, the ice just got off the lake a few days before we went on, so the walleye aren't quite as active quite yet.
Okay.
So.
Did you get some local advice on
how to cook that bad boy?
And where to go in the lake?
Oh, yeah. My family member, who's a retired CO officer, made sure to tell us where the best fishing was. He's going to know where to go.
There you go. Is it on your Instagram page?
Yeah, my Instagram.
Yeah,
right,
I
gotta go take a look at this.
It's impressive. I've never caught a fish that big ever in my life. But not a lot of fishing north in Saskatchewan.
That wasn't even the biggest one I caught.
Really?
That was 35. I caught a 37 one, and I was like, you know what? I already took one photo. If we get to 40, we'll take another, and didn't quite get there.
you raised the bar. 40, I'll take another photo. Britton Gray, resident fisherman here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Hey, darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey, darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey, darling, leaving for the next town. Lesson my sense catches up with me.
About an hour away from tip-off of Game 2 of the NBA Final. Also, just about to begin in Montreal is Canada's tune-up game for the World Cup. Their final one, they won 2-0 the other night in Edmonton against Uzbekistan, and tonight it is against Ireland. And then next Friday, actually it begins at about 1 o'clock Saskatchewan time against Bosnia and Herzegovina in Toronto to start the World Cup. Will Canada make it to the knockout stage? You remember they expanded the World Cup this year. There's more teams. That means there will be more opportunity to get into the knockout stage. Pretty well guaranteed you finish second in that pool, which I think Canada can. They will be in the knockout round.
They can. Can they beat Bosnia? I don't even know how they compare.
Bosnia did Canada a huge favor by beating Italy. Also would have been Italy for this game at the World Cup, but in that UEFA qualifier, Bosnia upset Italy and knocked them out of the tournament. So it'll be Bosnia. So I think they should be. Okay.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. By the way, the quote in the movie is...
I know.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
It's a Mandela effect.
For future reference. Among the most misquoted lines in movie history. Do you know what the other one is?
Luke, you're my father.
Luke, I am your father.
Okay, all right. Well, I got it wrong on purpose.
No, people think it's Luke, I am your father. It's not. That is not what Darth Vader says.
Again, Mandela.
Jamie and Locker with you. The 1 minute drill. Game two tonight of the NBA final. The Spurs trying to make it 1-1 against the Knicks. Only two teams have ever won the first two games on the road, including the 93 Bulls. Both those teams won the NBA championship. So the Knicks trying to do something very rare in the NBA. No word yet on Davidson, Saskatchewan's Braden McNabb and his availability for the Vegas Golden Knights tomorrow. Took the puck square in the nose last night. But he was cleared to travel with the team back to Vegas. So that is a positive sign.
The video is trending right now on Twitter.
It's not fun to watch.
No.
And Montreal Canadiens teammates Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield both pick up some individual hardware. Nick Suzuki, the Selke Trophy Best Defensive Forward. Cole Caulfield is the winner of the Lady Bing Trophy for sportsmanship. Coming up next, Drew Remenda on the Hockey Talk of the Day next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Adios and bye, la con Dios. Yeah, I'm leaving GA. And if it weren't for tequila and pretty senoritas, I'd have no reason to stay. Adios and bye, la con Dios. Yeah, I'm leaving GA. Hope you're having a great Friday. This is the Green Zone, Jamie and Locker with you. Sports is happening. Canada's about to take to the pitch against Ireland in Montreal, their final tune-up for next week's FIFA World Cup. Toronto, Canada will open against Bosnia-Herzegovina. Then they will play two games in Vancouver to wrap up their group stage events and see if they can make it to the knockout round. So there you have it. Soccer fans will be watching this one.
Brought the big FIFA flag out. Are they going to award another peace prize?
No, I think they probably learned their lesson on that one. Probably that might be a one-time thing for FIFA's peace prize.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Such a mockery of institutions. It is ridiculous. So that's going on. Then a tip off in about an hour for the NBA game two. Tomorrow, game three of the Stanley Cup final. Also, in an hour or so, it'll be kickoff in Calgary. The Stampeders against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in CFL action tonight. And the final of the three games to open the CFL season in Ottawa tomorrow. The Elks and the Red Blacks. But let's talk some hockey. Drew Remenda, our NHL analyst. Locker and I were debating earlier about the Locker thinks it's meaningless. The Lady Bing Trophy that went to Cole Caulfield. Drew, what do you think of the Lady Bing Trophy as Cole Caulfield picks it up?
I would say that you could look at that and look at the company that you're in and go, I'm a pretty good hockey player. And you know, you look at the guys, you know, Andrei Kopitar's won it a couple of times. McKinnon's won it. Carlson's won it.
Datsyuk's won it four times.
Johnny Gaudreau's won it. Ryan O'Reilly's won it. San Luis won it. Datsyuk's won it. If you're mad about winning it, then that's on you. That's not on anybody else. There are so many great players who have won, or who have been awarded the Lady Bing Trophy. There's a guy named Wayne Gretzky who's won it a few times. A guy named Brett Hull's won it a few times. Mm-hmm. Ronnie Francis. Some of the greatest Hall of Famers have won it. And the guys that you're listing, if you're mad about winning it, then I don't know what's wrong with you.
Because you're too nice, apparently.
You don't want that trophy. That's when you send it back.
Yeah, because Andrei Kopitar was such a big, you know, worth of a player.
Soft
so was
player.
Barkov and so slight.
Datsyuk?
Ryan O'Reilly. Nobody's softer than Ryan O'Reilly.
Here's the reason Datsyuk and those guys got the Lady Bing. Is because they were smart enough not to hook somebody. They knew how to use their stick properly, not to go to the penalty box.
Nobody better than Datsyuk at it.
Oh, man. Nope. Datsyuk was
nobody.
Almost unfair on how he was able to play the position and be a forward. But, Drew, Braden McNabb, what did you think?
Yeah.
Just watching that go down last night.
Ugly, but it's funny because the night before I was watching the NBA, the finals, game one, and watching guys flop all over the place. Jalen Brunson being the guy flopping more than anybody. And
Jalen is pretty bad.
I was complaining more than anybody, and my kids were laughing at me, Davis' daughter, laughing at me for being an old man yelling at the clouds. And yeah, we know, old man. Everything was tougher back in your day. But then I brought up is, yeah, but the NHL is the same. Guys flopping all over the place in the NHL too. But I said, the real guys take a hit. I happen to say they take a puck to the head or a stick to the head, and then they come back the next game. I said, sometimes they come back that game. So that was ugly, 87 miles an hour. There's close-ups online of his nose as he takes the puck to the nose. But I'll be surprised if he plays tomorrow, but I wouldn't be shocked. Knowing Braden a little bit like I do, I know Braden a little bit from Kelly Rio at Next Level and trained there. And Braden's about as tough as they come, man. Plus, also, guys, he's a minute muncher. I mean, he plays a lot of important minutes. He's a plus 10 in the playoffs. He's physical. He's good on the penalty kill. He has been with the Vegas Golden Knights since the beginning. Won a Stanley Cup. He's a quiet leader on that team. That's not an easy guy to replace.
So, McNabb, if he does come back, there's no way he's stepping on that ice without a full mask.
Bubble on, for sure.
Yeah. So I'm curious, do guys complain about their inability to, I don't know, move, like see the puck properly? Like, do guys in the show, do they hate wearing the full cage? Yeah,
they do.
Still
it
a thing.
It fogs up, and you can't see the puck, and especially when you look down. Mario Ferraro plays for the Sharks. We were in Tampa, and he took a puck off the mouth, and he lost almost all his front teeth, and it was a mess, like an absolute mess. It was same thing as Braden. We happened to go to Carolina that night. He came with us. Happened to be a dentist convention at the hotel we're staying at.
What?
Seriously. He goes in for hours of surgery. We play Carolina, doesn't play that game. The next game we were in Florida, took the shot. Then we went to Carolina, did all the work, and then we went to Tampa. He walks into Tampa in the morning skate, walks down the hallway, walks into Coach Quinn's office at the time, says a few things, turns around, walks out, walks in the dressing room, starts getting dressed, and David Quinn walks by me and looks at me and goes, well, I guess Mario's playing tonight, because that's what hockey players are like.
We hope to see Braden McNabb again in the Stanley Cup final. I expect we will, because
I think we will.
He'll put the dome on.
If he gets a day off, though, I think I'd be okay with that, because they play Saturday and then they get Tuesday off. So he may
Sunday, Monday.
If he's got anything broken in there, which it looks,
that nose is broken. That nose is broken.
So can't
breathe a little tougher.
You can't begrudge him if he doesn't make that game on Saturday.
No, exactly. Yeah. But like I said, I would be surprised. But knowing Braden a little bit and us knowing hockey players like we do, I wouldn't be shocked.
Before we get into the goal, no goal debate last night, that would have made it a 3-2 game for the Vegas Golden Knights. Drew, just how good of a hockey series has this been through the first two games?
It's been surprising, hasn't it? First of all, I didn't think 9 goals in the first period in the first game was going to be possible. I thought 9 goals might be the whole series.
The whole series.
And then last night when it was 2-0, I thought, yep, this is the type of series we're going to see. We're going to see one team get up and then be able to shut it down, which they were able to do, the Vegas Golden Knights. They were playing brilliantly. They said for 50 minutes, their first period wasn't that good. I'd say for 40 minutes, they were dynamite. And then one play changes it.
Yeah.
Stankoven's play changes it. And after that, man, that was why we love playoff hockey.
Yeah, and you know what? The other conversation we had on the Green Zone Lounge earlier today, Drew, was the numbers, apparently, in the States. And I get the momentum, right? Like, I understand that the Olympics and the U.S. win and that kind of a thing. The Four Nations also, you know, maybe revitalize the hockey conversation south of the 49. But I'm surprised because Listen, I'm pleasantly surprised by the hockey, but I'm surprised that this matchup, the Hurricanes and the Vegas Golden Knights, is one of the most watched Stanley Cup finals in a long time in the U.S. Well, ever.
Yeah, it is interesting because it's not the big markets like L.A. and New York or Chicago or anybody like that. It's too. Well, Vegas has got a fair size market, and I think Vegas intrigues a lot of people, and there are a lot of Vegas fans out there. But for Rod Brindamore's team and the Carolina Hurricanes, this is a team that we don't talk about a lot. We don't mention them a lot yet. They're one of the best teams in the league for the last, well, since Rod's taken over. You know, they won in 06. It's been 20 years now. They're back in the Stanley Cup Finals. But this is a team that continues to excel. But really, when you start talking about Vegas versus Carolina, you would think across the continental United States, there would be a lot of yawns in the middle. But there's not. Yeah. People are watching. But the games are great. Games are great. And they've been repaid with really entertaining games.
All right, goal, no goal. How'd you see that one play out last night in the third period as Freddie Anderson went to grab it and Barbashev got it? The 8-year-old was right last night, by the way. He was saying no goal. I was saying goal, and he had to remind me that. He's the hockey player, Dad.
Right.
You're not.
It's good.
I am.
Stay humble. Yeah. Stay humble. That's the key that kids will be able to give you in your life. Absolutely right call on the ice and the right call when it came to video review. There was two rules that came into play last night on that goal. Number one was the goalie interference, rule 69. And it's an attacking player can't jam his stick to the goaltender's chest or his pads to knock the puck loose. But also, the other factor is Jean Hébert had already clearly called the play dead before. Yeah. Even though the puck crosses the line before the actual whistle goes, it's the human factor, I think it's rule 31-2, which is the intent to blow. And so when that happens, when that call was, I was blowing the whistle, and you see when Barbashev comes behind and starts arguing with Jean Hébert points at him, and then he points at Dorofeev, who also got in a jam on the puck, and saying, that's why it's no goal. And if you read his lips, I do believe he said, and I was blowing the whistle.
Yeah.
So if the video review couldn't overturn the call on the ice without conclusive, irrefutable, 100%...
the whistle decides it.
But the whistle decides it. It couldn't overturn the evidence because there wasn't that evidence that the interference didn't occur or that the puck had clearly crossed the line beforehand. So consequently, I know John said 10 out of 10 times he makes that call. I bet you in the cold light of day today, he looks at that again and goes, eh.
That is Drew Remender, our NHL analyst here on The Green Zone. Coming up next, Champs and Chumps to wrap up the week on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best. And you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Champs and Chumps here in the Green Zone. You would like to champ our NBA guest earlier.
Yeah,
good
Sean,
friend of the show, Jack 94.5 FM, basketball savant.
Yes, big fan. He's a huge Raptors fan, but we got his insight on the finals, and he came strolling in today in a t-shirt and jorts, and I made a comment about it, then was quickly reminded that the jorts are making a comeback.
Yeah, they're making a comeback. Jorts are back.
Sean is the jort father, and he's doing his best to bring the jort back, which is the jean shorts.
Also, we're champing Seth Jarvis. Have friends that are as deeply engaged in your life as Seth Jarvis's buddies. Like, they went to the Four Nations Face-Off. They went to Italy to watch him at the Olympics.
Yeah.
They are in Carolina.
The playoffs. They lost their minds. Well, Seth got the winner last night.
He got the winner last night, and they're losing it.
Yeah, about six or seven of them came down from Winnipeg, and they're all in high school. They're all in college, right? So they can like take time off and zip down there.
Yeah, skip class, whatever.
Good for them. They looked like they were having a blast.
I want to hang out with those guys.
I don't know if I could.
I'd only last about an hour and a half.
I don't think I could keep up.
And then I'd be like,
group.
Well, boys, you have the good rest of your night.
Yeah, yeah.
I need a nap.
Put your shirt on. Tarps off, crew.
There's your champs and chumps. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill. San Antonio, New York Knicks tonight. How about the get-in price for Game 3? Get-in price for Game 3 at Madison Square Garden of this series. It has risen to $9,100 American.
Wow.
$9,000. That's the cheapest ticket you can find to get into the next Game 3. That's if they awesome. Win Game 2 tonight and Game 4 could be the clincher and the sweep, the prices of those will be ridiculous. But if they lose Game 3, those prices will drop, of course, because they won't be able to win at home. But wow.
Cool.
Get in price. Nearly 10 grand.
Do you think the Knicks are going to win tonight?
I think they are. They might sweep their way to the NBA Finals.
I don't know about that.
They're on a heater. 12 Wemby's straight wins.
Wemby's too good to be denied.
Canada-Ireland 0-0. That's how you say it in soccer. It's 0-0 draw right now in the 14th minute.
What is that? I just got tackled. What is that? Is that allowed? That is this soccer or rugby?
Depends on what the ref is. Depends how he's calling it. That's it for us for the week. We should get out of here and hand things over to the day in review. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.